Welcome back to the Hardline. Enter at your own risk.
Welcome back to the Hardline, 590 The Fan, KFNS and 590TheFan.com. Thank you all for hanging out with us on a Friday football edition. And I want to bring to your attention, John.
Royal Banks? I love Royal Banks.
You want to talk about Royal Banks?
Royal Banks is phenomenal. I am so glad to have Royal Banks aboard.
I do love Royal Banks. I can tell you all about them if you want. I told you about
them.
Give
me a little something on Royal Banks before we start hour number two.
All right. Here's what you need to know. It's nice.
Getting a little cold out on this Friday. Getting a little cold out, mister. Note to self, don't freelance with TJ on the airline.
Oh, boy. RoyalBanksOfMo.com is where you should go. That's what I would do if I were you. Also, you can hit them up through them for 212-1500. And I would recommend going and check them out. Do you know there are 11 neighborhood locations, John? Have you stopped by all 11?
I've told you with Rammer. I've told you it's like every time I'm going somewhere, I run across a Royal Banks.
I am a millennial, so you know what I do. I don't know where the 11 locations are. You know why? Because I use the full mobile banking. When I get a check from Markel Entertainment, you know what
LLC?
I do?
LLC?
Yes, I do. I take a picture of it, and it goes directly into my bank account. I don't have any use for banks except for when they were doing the Boo Bear Drive. And then I went, and then you go drop off your stuffed animals. That's the only use I have for locations except for all the friendly people and you want to go in and hang out. But I'm telling you, with the full mobile banking, all you got to do is transition everything online. So my brother and I do some rental properties, and any and everything we need to do can be done through the mobile app. It's incredible.
Although it was cute seeing you finally give up all your stuffed animals. Much like Linus with the cover, I never thought I'd see the day, but or blanket, but it was good. You gave them up for charity. Thanks to Royal Banks. Good for you.
You think that. I bought all new.
You bought all new ones, huh?
Pairs.
I got you.
Not for myself, for them. I'm not
right.
giving up
you
my
kept
stuff.
Your old ones.
That's
see?
Right.
You fooled me.
Interesting tweet here from a guy that I think you probably follow on Twitter, and I would imagine that you respect his work. He does a really good job. His name is Cole Kublick.
I am familiar with Cole Kublick.
What do you think about his work in general? Former Auburn lineman. He is the sideline reporter for SEC Network.
It's solid. I mean, he gets a little carried away at times. You know, stay in your lane, Cole. But all in all, a legit follow.
So if you want to follow him, he is Cole Kublick on Twitter.
If he were on Facebook, I'd probably pay attention. But I don't know if I'd like the page.
Here is where you're going to tell me he's getting a little carried away. Sent out a tweet on Thursday saying this. Watching Mizzou football again. And if you like what Pat Mahomes is doing in the league, you need to watch more of Drew Lock. The release, the arm angles, the off-platform throws, he is exceptional. Still plenty of room for growth. Would be QB1 for me.
Stay in your lane. Stop playing NFL scout.
Why? Why?
Drew Lock is not. When Mahomes came out, the reason I was high on Mahomes was much for the same reason I was high on Mitch Trubisky. And if you remember, in week two of this NFL season, I was sitting there doing a phone segment with you and Cam on the Hardline.
Yes.
And I said at that point in time, Mahomes isn't a flash in the pan. I wouldn't be surprised to see him be the best quarterback in the NFL in 2 years. And I said, Trubisky, why are you guys down on Trubisky? Here's a young guy who's still learning the game. Mitch Trubisky is going to be around this league for a long time and will be an all-pro in time.
This was right before or right after you told me the Jags were going to go to the Super Bowl?
Well, don't get into predictions, mister, because I'm far more right than wrong. Far more
that,
right
that
than
That may
wrong.
Be true, but you never cite your wrong, and so I'm citing them for you.
Well, yeah, because it happens like once in a blue moon. So it's easy for you to remember because there's so few. Fact of the matter is,
Auburn was good too.
There was only one reason, Auburn.
Well, we all thought Auburn was good. There was another college
no,
team.
No, it was Mississippi State.
There
Auburn.
You go, Mississippi State.
Can't even get my wrongs right. So my point being, what I liked about Mahomes and Trubisky was the moxie, was the cojones, was the clutch performances. Let me tell you something. Again, it sounds like I'm banging on Drew Lock. I'm not. I just haven't seen it. I'm not denying that Drew Lock has the ability to be something special. I just haven't seen it yet.
Well, you have seen the raw ability that he's talking about.
Oh, yeah. No, the raw ability's there.
Yeah.
But I have never walked away. I walked away from watching Pat Mahomes play at Texas Tech and thinking to myself, man, this poor boy is taking a beating and just gets right back up and gets right back after it. This is a guy who, no matter what the situation, I don't know how many times Texas Tech lost a high-scoring game they had no right to be in because Mahomes saved them time and time again. Trubisky, in 1 year, showed that moxie. If Drew Locke ever develops the mindset and the moxie that a Trubisky or a Mahomes plays with, well, now we're talking about something special.
I think that's fair.
I haven't seen that.
I think that's fair. I think.
Well, that's not true. At times I have. I haven't seen it with any semblance of consistency.
I think that's totally fair. A couple things on that. Missouri's offensive line has been so good the past 3 years that we have – one of my favorite things about Blaine was you knew exactly how tough he was. I mean, he couldn't even walk on an ankle after Ndamukong Suh destroyed it, and he was still out there marching, taking orders like he should. That is a part of being a really good player, and I think that's some of what you're talking about with Pat Mahomes. He never had a good offensive line at Texas Tech, and it's a good thing he's mobile because he was in a Rocky Balboa boxing match about half the games that he played, and he stood back up, and he was tough as nails. We haven't gotten to see that out of Drew Locke because he hasn't had the opportunity. They've had an unbelievable offensive line. The second part is, I think you nailed. There's been absolutely no consistency, and I would argue that there hasn't even been an inconsistent level shown from Drew Locke until midway through this year, the Florida game. The Florida game is the first game I walked away from thinking he made all the right decisions at all the right times, made the right throws, didn't make the stupid throws that he has forced in games past, and he is a large reason why there was never any sweating that game. And there are other games where you would say the opposite.
And I'm still not sure why Missouri hasn't received their just desserts for that victory. That was a big, big, big win if you look at the rankings.
Kirk Herbstreit's the only guy I think nailing it right now because he's like, okay, fine. Florida's not that good. Fine. Who's better, though? Like, you keep telling me you're not a top 10 team. Okay, but who are the top 10 teams then? Because top 10 in your mind, like, you've created this thing that top 10 teams are unbeatable, unbelievable. Well, if that's true, show me the 10 teams that are better than Florida because you can't find them. They may not be that good. Maybe that's true, but they are indeed a top 10 team.
Look at the Rose Bowl. Are you going to tell me that Washington shouldn't be better than Florida? I guarantee you they should, but they're not.
Right. That's exactly right.
They're not. So, no, I my first impression when I saw Florida there was, what? But I did the exact same thing. Mm-hmm. I started looking for examples to cite.
Yeah, who's better?
And there are a few that you may win an argument with, but not many.
Yeah.
Not many.
Most.
And even with teams like Ohio State, I will never, ever forget that Ohio State was utterly destroyed by a football team that lost to Eastern Michigan.
Yeah.
Seriously.
Yeah.
A team that had to win its last game to become bowl eligible. We're not talking about a world. We're talking about a mid-level Power 5 team that beat them by double digits, and it wasn't that close.
Right. I don't think anybody who pays close attention to Florida would tell you they should be any lower than 12. You can make an argument.
And what are they, 9?
They're 10 in the college football.
Okay.
Right? So, and Washington's in front of them, but you can make the argument against Washington, right?
No question.
You can make the argument against UCF, truly, because nobody's really seen him beat anybody. You can make the argument, honestly, after watching the end of the year against Michigan. You could say that they're probably behind Ohio State and that Ohio State would beat them. I think most subjective people would tell you that. But anywhere from 7 to 12, I think there's a legit argument. I think most everybody would tell you they're better than Washington State, who sits at 13.
Well, I would, for the most part, tend to agree with you with Ohio State, but David Blough had an absolutely phenomenal day against Ohio State. So when you sit there and say, well, Felipe Franks, is he going to do anything? It was David Blough. The Indiana quarterback had a very nice day against Ohio State. Minnesota played him right down to the wire.
They did. Maryland should have beat him.
Mm-hmm. And that was with two guys that you'll never know their names.
And they scored 51 points.
That's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
So you get, you know, again, even with Ohio State, I think the Big Ten this year was the single most overrated conference because their top teams were overrated.
Yeah, and the other thing is I think the Herbstreits of the world, and I paraphrase what he's saying, of course, but I think what they understand is that the same thing you and I have said that Missouri fans as a whole don't understand, and that is that Missouri lost some really good teams, and they were a substantially better team at the end of the year than the beginning of the year. And they caught Florida when they were really getting the point where they were ascending.
No doubt. All right, we'll continue after this.
It's Hardline.
Welcome back to the Hardline. Enter at your own risk.
It is Prediction Friday. TJ Mo, John Hadley. We are the Hardline. 5-9 the Fan. Kevin S. 5-9 the Fan.com. Jonathan Franklin Edgar Hadley.
Yes.
I need some predictions out of you. We have some very important games this week, and let's start with Saturday. The college football semifinals. Do you like the Clemson Tigers, even without their All-American defensive tackle, over the Notre Dame Fighting Irish, who Max Kellerman hates the name of and therefore will protest against for all of eternity?
Well, I will put it to you this way. I don't think Notre Dame has the speed to shut them down all offensively. And I don't think Notre Dame has the offense to stretch them defensively. So I will stick with Clemson, probably in a little bit closer game than most would predict. But, yeah, I will stick with Clemson.
I think that's probably fair.
And besides that, I'll take Dabo Swinney. Up to this point, I'll take Dabo Swinney over Brian Kelly any day.
Absolutely. Brian Kelly, coach of the year, not interested. Don't care. Anytime Notre Dame does it in modern day, I'm not going to believe, because they do a lot of what they do with smokes and mirrors and all. They don't have to go through a real conference schedule. And when you're halfway a part of the ACC, especially this year, you're playing no one.
Smokes and mirrors. So you're insinuating a lot of weed and coke up in South Bend?
Yeah, and they're co-ed now, so who knows what else.
Unbelievable.
The last I checked may have changed, but last I checked, Clemson was a 12.5 point favorite.
Correct. Yep. They dropped, I think they went as high as 13.5 and then dropped a point and a half after Dexter Lawrence was busted.
And we'll see what happens come close.
Not busted, but busted for his action.
Yes, tested officially.
Against NCAA rules. Go ahead.
The other game, and we don't have much time here. The other game, Oklahoma, and this has dropped, actually. Oklahoma is a 14-point dog against Alabama.
If Tua plays, Oklahoma has the ability to cover that spread.
Over-under 77.
The problem with predicting that game right now is that from everything I can gather, Tua will play, but he's nowhere near 100%.
Yeah, he says 80, 85.
Well, and he's saying that himself?
He's 30, 35.
That's what I'm saying. Seriously. Yeah. Wait, no, you're a former athlete. If you say 80, 85, it's probably closer to 50. No?
I think he's an idiot to begin with. I told everybody I was 100% all the time. Never once did I tell anybody I was less than 100%.
There you go. So, but my point is, that's a telling statement that he would say 80, 85.
It is.
Which confirms everything that I heard. So,
it means he's a good Christian boy, John. He's trying to tell you the truth.
I expect him. So is Donald Trump. I expect him to.
Come on, stock market rebounded. Wednesday, then dropped again.
It dropped again today, or yesterday, I'm sorry. I didn't even check today. Anyhow, the point of the matter is, very simply, if he were 100%, there would be no doubt in my mind.
Yep.
If Jalen Hurts plays, I still think they win the game, but it's going to be a much closer and much lower scoring game. Because Oklahoma's going to score.
Mm-hmm.
As we discussed last hour, Oklahoma's going to score. For that over to be achieved, Alabama has to score a lot.
Yeah.
Even if Oklahoma puts up 35 points, which would be an unbelievable number against Alabama.
Yeah.
But even if they put up 35 points, that means Alabama's got to score 43 or more points
to cover.
To cover with Jalen Hurts at quarterback.
Yeah.
Jalen Hurts matriculates the ball.
Yeah, I think that's right. Unless what we saw was the rebirth of a guy, and I'm with you, I don't believe it, but unless we saw the rebirth of a guy under Dan Enos who's absolutely revolutionized an offense and taught him new mechanics and how to pass on the run, then yes, this is a 28-point team with Jalen Hurts. It's a 50-point team with Tua.
Yeah. And again, we discussed last hour, it's all mindset.
Yeah, that's right.
Georgia went into that championship game thinking run, 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 run. And for an extended period of time, stayed close to the line, did this, did that. Tua took advantage of them. By the end, it was too late to change. In that championship game, SEC championship game, Alabama came in, pass, 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 or Georgia came in with the mindset of pass, 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 and did that for a little bit. Hurts beat him with their feet, and then all of a sudden they said, okay, we're going back to run, 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 and he beat him with a few passes. I mean, mm-hmm. Again, despite what anybody wants to say, changing one's mindset, game plan, and purpose for a game of that nature is not as easy as just flipping a switch.
No, I mean, that's exactly right.
I would be willing to bet, TJ, that they spent virtually, at best, minutes, if that much, working in practice if Jalen Hurts plays.
Yeah, zero. Not 1 second. And I'm honestly, when you're going against Tua, it's a waste of time to prepare for anything else, because if you take time away from figuring out how to stop him, you've already lost. Yeah. So they did it properly. There's just, that's what happens.
Because there's rarely is there that significant a difference between two quarterbacks.
That's right.
Either on the NFL level or high college level. Mm-hmm. Because normally you have one specific type offense that you run, and that quarterback fits into that mold. You have two distinctly different quarterbacks on both ends of the spectrum who are both very good at what they do, making it extraordinarily problematic, as the Oklahoma State Cowboys are going to find out, because Mizzou has all kinds of different ways to beat you offensively, and that's exactly what they're going to do to that Oklahoma State defense. Beat them up.
I have Mizzou covering. Last I checked, it was 6.5.
Oh, Mizzou's up to 9, bro.
Oh, wow. Wow.
World's starting to understand.
All right. I still got them covering, though.
Oh, I think Mizzou wins by double digits.
All right. Let's.
It will be in the second half, but they'll win by double digits.
Drew Lock is going to ride off into the sunset. It's going to be awesome. All right. My 1-6, AFC, Kansas City, New England, Houston, Baltimore, Los Angeles Chargers, and then I'm going Colts. I think where you disagree with me is perhaps.
No, I'm sticking with the Colts. I just think it's going to be a battle.
Okay.
Most people just seem to think, oh, Andrews is going to walk. No, you're not going to walk in Tennessee.
You agree with me 1-6 there?
No, I'm going Pittsburgh. I think Cleveland will beat Baltimore and the Steelers make the playoffs.
Oh, wow. Okay. Okay. I could see that happening. I think that is the most likely. If mine is not true, that is the most likely to be true. Then I think the Saints will end up still number one.
Yeah, they clinched that. So.
Yeah, thank you. The Rams and the Bears are still in contention there, but I do think the Rams will win this weekend. Bears will be third. The Cowboys are already locked in at 4, having clinched that and not having a good enough record. Seattle will stick at 5. I think Philly may find a way to sneak in at 6, though.
I'll tell you exactly the difference in that game. If the Vikings have a big lead at halftime, the Bears are taking everybody out.
Yeah.
If that's a close game, then all of a sudden the Bears and the Rams are struggling.
Mm-hmm.
The Bears came.
And really, they play at the same time, I think.
Yeah. No, they do. That's so what I'm saying. Know. Is that they'll know exactly what's going on.
Yeah.
If the Rams are winning by 30 points, well, that's exactly right. If the Rams are winning by 2 touchdowns, Bears start resting people.
Right.
If the Bears are down by 2 touchdowns, they start resting people.
Right.
If that game's close, Vikings could be, because Philly's not going to lose.
Right.
It comes down to the Vikings.
Mm-hmm.
Bears don't rest anybody. The Nick Foles stories continue.
So, what's your prediction then?
I'm gonna go ahead and stick with the Vikings.
All right. So there you have it. We just told you everything that's gonna happen this week, and we'll be back on Wednesday, January 2nd. And you guys have a wonderful New Year. Happy New Year, John.
Stop telling everybody what to do.
That it was more of a recommendation.
All right. So then you say, I hope that you have the opportunity to enjoy a terrific Happy New Year's. If you choose to do so.
That's not a recommendation.
That's a recommendation if you choose to do so.
That's not a recommendation.
If you want to have a crappy New Year's Day, you go ahead right there, mister.
John, look, not everybody can be a 31-year-old John Hadley with coke up his left nostril and who knows what up his right nostril. Not everybody can do that.
What makes you think it's not up both nostrils?
You were a patient.
Double barreling.
We got to go. I hope you guys have a wonderful weekend.
I hope kids aren't listening. It was a joke.
It was a joke, but not really.
Let's go Tigers.
That's right, baby. Go Tigers. This will be a lot of fun. I'm excited about that. Happy New Year, everybody. It's the Hardline.
Welcome back to the Hardline. Enter at your own risk.
Joining us today is my friend and a guy that covers Missouri football and all their sports better than anybody else I know. That is Gabe DeArmond, PowerMizzou.com. Gabe, do you guys still have your deal going on at PowerMizzou right now?
Yeah, it appears it may never actually end. You know, it was presented as a limited time offer, and that was like 3 weeks ago. But yeah, just sign up. You, as of now, still get $99 to go spend. The subscription's only $99.95, so really we're just giving you, you know, a year subscription. So hopefully check that out, and either you'll like it or you'll just forget to cancel. Either way is good for us.
So win-win for you. I like that. That is good stuff. So the busiest day of the year has switched now for you from sometime in February to now in December. The vast majority, we thought this would happen, and it did. The vast majority of all signings happen now in December. The hardest part of your job is over after this past Wednesday, right?
Yeah, it really, last year was kind of an adjustment period. We didn't know what to think, but this year it was obvious. I mean, signing day is now December 19th or whenever, you know, I don't know when in the future. It's not the exact same date, I don't think, every year, but that Wednesday before Christmas kind of is now the day. Missouri signed 22, so they basically got three spots left for February, and there are really only two types of kids that might not sign in December now. That's the absolute elite level prospect that knows, like, hey, if I don't sign here now, it's okay, because if I want to come back in 6 weeks and sign, they're going to have a spot for me. And then the other type of kid is a kid who maybe the academics are a little bit up in the air, because back, you know, when you went through recruiting, they'd sign guys that, hey, they were pretty sure weren't going to make it, but there was no real damage, because as long as that kid didn't show up on campus, you could make up for that the next year. It's really now much harder to get that scholarship back. So coaches just can't take as many chances on kids that are kind of borderline academically right now, so they can give it another 6 weeks, get another semester's grades in, and say, let's see where you sit that first week in February.
How many of these kids do you think would Missouri have signed that are holding off right now? I know there were two or three that you've mentioned, one of which was, and he's the number one junior college recruit, Chester Graves. I don't know where the standing for any of these kids. How many of these kids do you think could have signed if not for that potentially academics?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, Shamar Pearl and Arvell Ferguson have been committed for quite a while. So, and again, I don't want to speculate on any individual kid's situation, but logic tells you they're probably kind of waiting to see where things stand in a couple months. And yeah, Chester Graves is a JUCO kid. He only took the one visit to Missouri so far. But everybody that's been around that recruitment back in high school is saying, you know, this is no slam dunk that he's going to get the work done. So I think, you know, that's part of the reason that you're not going to see anybody. Now, Chester hadn't committed, and I think he probably is fine with stretching this out too, because he is the number one JUCO guy in the country. So he's one of those guys that schools will have a spot for, but at the same time, I don't think anybody was going to commit to it this early, because he's got a lot of work to get done between now and next August.
Yeah, it is interesting how that changed. I was certainly a guy that I was somewhere in the middle. So if I wouldn't have signed in December in today's game, I would have ended up at Missouri State or somewhere. I mean, I think there's enough guys like that where, you know, your spot is taken. I wish this had been around. It actually has turned out to be, I think, a net benefit for virtually everybody involved here. Is there any drawback to having it an early signing period here?
Well, you know, I was a little surprised the coaches voted for it, because Gary Pinkel always told me he didn't like about it. And I think some coaches are finding this out now, is when do you get time off? You now have official visits starting, you know, so early. You're hosting official visits in the spring, and summer is a more important recruiting period maybe than it used to be. So I'm not sure when you take time off. And I know the coaches here were drained by the end of this week. You know, and so, yeah, they might get a few days to kind of recharge after the bowl game. But it's not a ton of time because you're finishing February. You're already getting into 2020. So I think it's good for the kids. I think it probably makes the coaches be a little bit more judicious with who they sign and their evaluations and stuff. But I wonder if they're not going to find 3 years in. I haven't had a vacation in 3 years and I'm exhausted.
That does make a lot of sense. Although I think guys like you and I who get to know the coaches and see the insides feel a little more empathy than the average fan who says you're making $3.5 million, not too interested in your complaints.
Right. And I mean, look, these coaches, I mean, just take Missouri's coaching staff. They should obviously still be up studying film of the Kentucky game every single day. So they make sure that never, ever happens again.
That's right. And they need to figure out how to create new gloves for if it ever rains again after South Carolina. And why don't we have a retractable roof at every stadium we play in? That needs
Absolutely.
To be state funded. It needs to come probably directly out of Barry Odom's pocket. Okay, it has been a while, and I think a lot of people have their own theories about why, but Mizzou has struggled in St. Louis historically, but it's been really bad for 2 years now. This year, they pulled 7 guys out of the state. 6 of them were from St. Louis. That is a huge deal. How do you think they broke through on that in order to pull that haul?
It just took a kid that was willing to jump on first, and that was Jack Buford this year. He did it over the summer. I think he committed in July. And then a couple other kids, you know, C.J. Boone and Maurice Massey kind of said, yeah, let's do that. And it was interesting. Cornell Ford said on signing day, and I don't really understand why this is. You might because you're from there, but St. Louis has always been a place where it's like I don't want to say follow the leader, but, you know, hey, this kid did it, so now it's cool to go there. Now we can go there. Or this kid didn't do well at that school, so I'm not going to go to that school. Well, that kid's not you. Like, you know, Ohio State recruited St. Louis well because of Ezekiel Elliott. Well, Ezekiel Elliott was going to be great anywhere. Mm-hmm. You know, he's a great football player. It didn't matter where he went to school. So just because Ezekiel Elliott did well at Ohio State, or just because Jeremy Maclin did well at Missouri, doesn't necessarily mean another St. Louis kid is going to do well there. But it's always been kind of that type of environment where it's very much you can get a bunch or you're going to get shut out because they all just seem to kind of follow the same mindset. And I think that probably sounds more insulting than I mean it to sound. I don't mean that as an insult. I just find it very unique. It's much more that way than most cities I've dealt with are.
Yeah, it is interesting. St. Louis, Gabe, I mean, you've heard this for years. You went to school at Missouri, so I assume it exists and has existed forever, going back to, I mean, hell, they played in the World Series in 85. The Kansas City-St. Louis rivalry that goes on is a strange thing, and people in St. Louis hate when I say this, but Kansas, outside of Cardinals baseball, which I will put Cardinals fans up against anybody in the history of sports supporting their team, outside of that, the city struggles. They struggle with college football. They struggle with regular football, struggle with basketball. I mean, sports across the board. I think that bleeds into recruiting a fair bit. I do, because when you don't have a city who's just going wild for a single school, then why would a kid feel pressure from the outside to stay home? Because there's a guy up the street cheering for Michigan, and the other guy over next door is cheering for Kansas State, and it's just kind of whatever.
Well, and I don't think this is exclusively a St. Louis thing, but St. Louis gets the most attention because that's where the most people and historically the most prospects are. But I thought it was there is no pride in this state. I actually just did McKernan's podcast a couple weeks ago, and one of the things we talked about was why Missouri has struggled, because there's no statewide pride in the University of Missouri.
Yeah.
You know, Kansas City is 5 minutes from Kansas. St. Louis is 5 minutes from Illinois. It's a really spread out state. And what really struck me last year in 2018 with that, you know, Tiger 10 and all those kids were when I saw in the fall some of them tweeting, I'm not from Missouri, I'm from St. Louis. Well, like,
yeah, what the
I
hell
mean,
does
I
that
guess
mean?
I get it, but it is still in Missouri. You know, I'm not – and look, I don't think Missouri's the greatest state in the union or anything. Like, whatever, it's fine. You know, I grew up here, I live here, I like it fine. But it just – it is almost like, you know, like those people from Texas, it's a whole other country. No, it's still part of this country.
Yeah,
so,
right.
You
know. Yeah.
At least last I checked.
No doubt. And it is a strange thing. I grew up here. I was recruited from here. But this was when I decided to go to Missouri, the timing was good because when I got my offer, it was like a month after Missouri hit number one for the first time since 1960. So that was
right,
a nice coincidence. But also, I grew up and I had state pride. But most of my friends, I would come to school and my friends would be wearing NFL jerseys. I mean, you'd see Denver Broncos jerseys. You'd walk around. And don't get me wrong, you will see Cardinals hats on every corner. But I rarely saw Mizzou stuff. And this was obviously after the Brad Smith days where you would see occasionally the 16 jerseys. I can't imagine what it was like before that. I don't know if a Missouri piece of apparel existed in St. Louis.
A lot of basketball jerseys back then, probably, yeah. but probably not a lot of football stuff. I mean, it's gotten better, but I just think, yeah, I mean, kids in this state don't generally grow up dreaming of doing anything at the University of Missouri, unless maybe it's going to journalism school, you know. But in general, I mean, it's not like a lot of these places where as soon as you get the offer, it's like, well, why would I ever think about going anywhere else? Missouri's had a perception problem in the major cities, and that is it's not viewed as a big time place to play. That may be able to change over the next few years with the SEC. And, you know, if you can get some of these big time games and get wins in them, maybe that changes. But it's a thing that takes generations, not 5 or 10 years.
Yeah, it is a unique thing. Let's get into some of the players, a few of which I have talked to some of the Missouri coaches. This doesn't come directly from them or anybody else, actually. I haven't heard this specifically, but I've heard this about other players. I'm not referencing Jelani Williams exactly, but I know that a guy who is that highly rated has a much bigger effect on paper, regardless of what he does on the field. I think that was probably the biggest kid in this whole class because he was a St. Louis kid that had options that decided to stay home. I don't know if he's going to be any good, but I don't know if that matters so much because you were able to haul him in.
It was, I think, the biggest high school get in this class, certainly. Because, yeah, not only is he rated highly, but it's at safety, a position where, frankly, since William Moore and Pig Brown were here, Missouri really – I mean, Braylon Webb had one really nice year. But Missouri has kind of struggled at safety for quite a while. And, you know, I think they like Tyree Gillespie and Josh Bledsoe a lot. Those guys are both sophomores this year, so – they'll be here for a couple years, but theoretically, Jelani comes in. I think he's got a chance to play next year, but then even if he doesn't, you know, you could be looking at a 2 or 3 year starter down the road. And he's a kid. I mean, he's built like for a safety. He is tall and thin right now. I mean, he's built a little bit like a lot of people won't get this reference, but Merton Hanks. Back with the 49ers back in the day, he was a lot taller and thinner than a lot of safeties. But everybody who's seen him play a lot said for a kid that's built like he is, he really hits. He does not shy away from contact. And so I think the position combined with the rating, yeah, he was probably as big as any high school kid in this class.
Obviously, we will get to this last. Obviously, we know that Kelly Bryant was the massive haul that changes next year. But how do you say his name? I always say we will know how to say his name if he's any good in time. Connor, is it Bazalak? Bazalak?
Connor Bazalak, I think. Yeah.
Okay, Bazalak. So what I know you talk to a lot of these kids. Were you able to talk to him after Sean Robinson, the TCU transfer, announced and signed with Missouri? And did that change anything in the eyes of Missouri coaches for 1 year from now? Is it those two guys getting after it to see who earns a spot?
Yeah, I haven't talked to Connor since that, but he did sign. And I know, you know, part of the delay in kind of announcing that Sean Robinson had signed and was part of this class is Missouri's staff needed to make sure that Connor Bazalak was okay with all this. Mm-hmm. And that it wasn't going to make him go, hang on, I don't think that's where I want to go. And obviously it didn't. He was on board. He knew the plan. I mean, ideally now, and you know as well as I do, things don't ever work out the way they're supposed to. Like, I remember Chase Patton was going to be a 3 year starter here. And then they went and recruited some kid named Chase Daniel. So things don't always go according to the plan of succession. But the plan of succession right now was Kelly Bryant for a year, Sean Robinson for two, and Connor Bazelak for two. Mm-hmm. Quarterback is the only spot. Like, you know, Missouri was got a linebacker, and somebody said, well, I hope this doesn't scare off another guy. I said, well, they play three linebackers. They start three linebackers and play five in every game.
Yeah.
Like, why is that going to scare off somebody? But quarterback's the only place where ideally, if you're not the starter, you never see the field.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so to me, you take a good one every single year. And then down the road, if three of them want to leave, then so be it. They just leave. They transfer and they go somewhere else. But they weren't the starter, so they weren't good enough to win the job here. And hey, that's big boy sports. You know, that's the way it goes. It's why Texas didn't offer Chase Daniel back in the day. They had Colt McCoy. And they knew, hey, even if we offer Chase Daniel and we get him, like, one of those guys is leaving. That's how it works. So you take one every year and you deal with whatever. I mean, look, there's going to be a minimum of two quarterback transfers from Missouri this offseason. And I would not be surprised by more, but that's just the way it goes.
Well, right. And quarterback is the one place that I always find it interesting that people still rip on kids who want to transfer. If you're the third string quarterback, you don't stand a chance. You need a chance to transfer. And the coaches should be telling you as much.
Absolutely. And I mean, you know, the thing that I think the disconnect between fans and players is that fans have a hard time understanding that the players just don't look at it like they do. Like, let's take, you know, Micah Wilson is a kid who grew up in Oklahoma. Yes, his dad played football here. But, like, I don't think Micah Wilson probably has the emotional attachment to the University of Missouri that a lot of these fans do. So what he's looking at is, where can I play?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm never going to be the starting quarterback here. If I want to be a quarterback, I'm going to have to find a place to go do it. Now, some kids are okay not being that. You know, what I don't like is the judgment for what kids do. I mean, after the SEC championship game, there was so much, oh, see, Jalen Hurts did it right and he stayed and good for him and screw all these guys that left. No, Jalen Hurts did what he wanted to do and good for him and I'm glad it worked out. And Kelly Bryant did what he wanted to do and good for him and I hope it works out for him too. Like, neither approach is wrong. And we don't really get to say that either one is wrong. But from the outside, I think it's real easy to say, well, here's the reasons to stay and here's the reasons to go. But we're projecting all of what we feel onto these kids who probably don't feel a lot of that.
I think you're exactly right. Let's. I do see there's a kid named Chris Daniels. Poor kid for the rest of his life. People are going to call him Chase. At least they do get the plural of Daniels now that everybody's been clamoring for.
Exactly.
As they have whiffed on Chase's name for years. There was a kid, Darius Robinson, the signing. He's really the lone signing day surprise, along with, I guess, the four-star linebacker out of Georgia, right?
Yeah, Jamie Petway had actually he had been committed for a couple weeks. Now, it doesn't mean anything until they say it publicly, but we expected Petway all along to sign with Missouri, and actually one of our guys already had quotes from him saying that he was doing so. So we felt pretty good about that one.
Oh, wow.
Darius Robinson, I woke up on signing day thinking he was going to Colorado. I talked to Brick Haley, and he said he was on the phone with Robinson until about midnight on Tuesday, convincing him to sign with Missouri. He did that, and you know, that was certainly a big get. I mean, he's one of those kids that you look at. Look, I have no idea if he's going to be any good or not, but he's one of those kids that you look at and go, yeah, I won't be surprised if he's a really good football player.
Yeah, he's got the frame of Alden Smith. Dude's like 6'5", 250. Those guys you don't typically just pull off the street. Okay, let's get to Kelly Bryant. I don't want to keep you too long on a day. Most of us would like to be taking a nap or going into Christmas break. So Kelly Bryant next year, fill in the blank for me here, does what to the Missouri football team? There's no blank, I guess. Go ahead and answer the question, though.
Yeah, I mean, he completely changes the expectation for next season. I think this is a team that should expect to win nine games and should hope to win more. You know, he really – I don't think you can – recruiting is PR. That's all – like signing day, that's all that is. It's just PR. We don't know how good any of these kids are going to be. Now, the difference with Kelly Bryant, we know how good he should be because we've seen it. So the buzz that they got that night he committed. Now, it happened to be the same day, I think, that Urban Meyer retired.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It wasn't the biggest story in college football, but it was the second biggest story in college football. And it has, you know, you add Sean Robinson to that now. I've seen a whole bunch of, hang on, Kelly Bryant and Sean Robinson are both transferring there? What the hell's going on?
Yeah.
You know, so he has really kind of given this program a boost in PR. He has changed next season because if for everything you want to say, all the pieces they might have, if you don't have the quarterback, you're not winning big in college football. And I don't know. I'm not trying to give Kelly Bryant next year's Heisman or anything. I don't think he's probably going to be all SEC. That spot seems fairly spoken for at quarterback in the league at this point.
And they both play for Alabama. Yeah,
exactly. But, you know, I mean, he took this from a team that you go, yeah, they ought to make a bowl game to – hang on, they really should do something here. You know, the schedule and everything sets up for next year to really be a chance at 9 or 10 wins, I think, and really be a year. It's interesting. We talked a lot about Barry's contract and all that, and all the incentives that are in there. If this is the year they break through and win 10, Jimmy Sexton's back in Jim Stark's office next year going, yeah, you're going to need to tear that thing up because we're here for a while now.
Yeah, no, I think that's a great point. Okay, two more questions. One nice and easy, a percentage here. Give me a percent chance you think Missouri's 8-0 headed into Athens, Georgia next year.
Boy, I mean, West Virginia here is not – that's no layup. I don't think that'd be 8-0. I mean, like 20% chance, okay. You know, because I think they've got some talent. I think they're going to be a good team, but most teams don't play their best game all along. I mean, I don't remember exactly what the first 8 games are, but is South Carolina, I assume South Carolina's in there somewhere in the first 8.
The first 8 games you got, I mean, you play your whole non-conference, I believe. You play Troy and you play, I do believe the South Carolina game is early. I will pull it up here. I had it up yesterday talking about the same thing. The tougher games, though, Tennessee is at the end, Arkansas and Florida. So, yeah, South Carolina would be prior to that. Now, you will have a bye. You have 2 bye weeks, actually, before Georgia.
Right.
Next year you have a bye.
But, yeah, you've got South Carolina and Kentucky and West Virginia in there. Like, mm-hmm. I don't know. Odds are Missouri probably loses at least one of those, I would think.
Yeah, could be. I think I would go a little bit higher there. I don't think it's a – I think it's less than – 50% chance, certainly, but I think I'd go in the 35 range. I mean, you're talking about West Virginia minus Will Grier. You're talking about Kentucky minus Brad Allen and minus Benny Snell, who will be running slowly on an NFL field somewhere next year. they're really, I mean, a lot of these guys are gone, right? Jake Bentley's gone. You got a bunch of dudes who they were the only reason the teams were decent this year, and these are historically not great teams, and they're all going to be playing
Jake
on an NFL.
Jake Bentley's not gone, is he?
I thought
Bentley was a freshman in 2017.
Maybe he was a junior this year. If he's not gone, he's a senior, I think. And they were already sort of forcing him out by the end of the year to some degree, where they didn't end up playing the backup. But there was a lot of talk that they were trying to move on. Yeah,
that backup, he looked all right that one day.
Yeah, him and David Blau. It seems like All-Americans just waiting in the wings. So anyway, okay, last question here, Gabe. Missouri has been able to really succeed without recruiting at the top of the top. And for years it was in the Big 12, and they've done it a couple times in the SEC now. In the Big 12, though, you could recruit in the low 40s, high 30s, and then develop those guys. Where do you think Missouri needs to be now? Because sitting at 31, according to Rivals, they're still number 13 in the SEC. So where do they have to be? Where if high 30s, low 40s gets you there with the Big 12, where do you suppose they have to be to get there in the SEC?
Yeah, I think, I mean, recruiting classes like they did this year, which is 31, you know, in that range, like, I think that can get you 8 or 9 wins. You know, now what I don't think that can do is recruiting at that level every single year. I don't think you're winning the SEC. You know, I mean, it's just, it's not realistic. I wrote earlier this week, I think a good goal for Missouri is to be 9th in the SEC on fairly regular basis, because you take Florida, Tennessee, Georgia, Alabama, Auburn, LSU, Texas A&M. You're never going to be ranked above those schools, ever.
Yeah.
Not maybe one year, but for the most part, they're always going to beat you in recruiting rankings due to geography, tradition, the inherent biases of recruiting rankings, all that. Mm-hmm. So the best you can be is 8th. let's say you're ninth in the SEC. I looked back since Missouri joined the SEC. If you have the ninth ranked recruiting class in the SEC, your average rank is 20.4 in the country.
Jeez.
So, Missouri has never recruited a class that is ranked 20th. Gary Pinkel's best class was 21st. He had one that was 25th, one that was 27th. You know, so if you can get on an average somewhere 20 to 25, now look, you're not going to play for the title every year, but I think you can put yourself in a position where it can be, you can regularly be an 8-win team, and in the right year you can beat Georgia, and then all you've got to do is be better than Alabama or Auburn or whoever for 60 minutes one time. I think that's the goal. Just they need to out-recruit Vandy, obviously, out-recruit the Mississippi schools, and then South Carolina and Kentucky. If you can do that, you're going to be ninth in this league, and you know what? That's going to need to be good enough, because being fourth isn't going to happen.
Being fourth this year would have put you fourth overall.
Yeah. Well, and I looked at – I mean, Missouri would have had the fourth-ranked recruiting class in the Big 12, fifth in the Pac-12, I think seventh in the Big 10, and fifth in the ACC.
Wow.
And they were 13th in their own league. Now, again, some of that is the bias of recruiting rankings, honestly, because, what have all these classes done for Tennessee? Absolutely nothing. So guess what? We were wrong on a lot of those guys. We saw they had a bunch of offers, and they went to Tennessee, and we ranked them higher than they should have been. So it's not all right, but generally this league recruits better players than other leagues.
I lied to you. I want one more question here. I've seen you talk about it, and I've noticed the same thing. TCU and Missouri, very similar programs, similar trajectory with how recruiting correlates into more wins than it probably shows on paper. At what point, if that continues, do the guys from any of the recruiting services go back and reevaluate players that are committed to TCU and Missouri and say, you know what, go ahead and add a star to that kid?
Yeah, I don't know. It would seem never. Because Missouri's been doing it for 15 years, and our recruiting guys, and look, I'm not taking shots at them. Like, it's a hard job. I wouldn't want to do it, but they will say, like, they don't base who's offered a kid. That's not what they base it on. Well, why not? I mean, Alabama generally has better players than other schools. If Alabama offered him, I'd probably think he's pretty good.
Yeah.
But I think TCU, Wisconsin, Oklahoma State, these are programs that recruit pretty similar to Missouri and have all had better results than recruiting rankings say they should. And that's how you do it at Missouri. You're never going to have a top 10 class. It's not realistic. So what you have to do is be smarter. I mean, what I'm waiting for, frankly, is the day where some of these kids look at it and go, hang on, Justin Fields, why would I go to Georgia and back up the guy that just made Jacob Eason transfer? Yep. Maybe I should go somewhere where Jake Fromm's not on campus. But they don't really seem to be doing that.
Well, allegations are allegations, but Cam Newton's dad has $200,000 to show for it.
Yeah, good for him, man.
Yeah, right? Him. I mean, hey, I don't have any kids, but if Missouri wants to hand me $200,000, I might say no and tell him to give it to me after he graduates. We'll be in good shape there. Gabe, Merry Christmas, man. Thanks so much for some time here, and good work as always.
Yeah, no problem. Have a good Christmas, TJ.
All right, man. That is Gabe Darmon, PowerMizzou.com. As he pointed out, they have a deal going on right now where you can, I think he said $99 gets you a subscription for the year plus a whole bunch of Power Mizzou gear. So I would check that out if I were you. Also, go check out our guys at County Credit Union, countycu.org. They do a really good job over there. You can open up an account, get a credit card. It'll get you a personal loan. You can get a car loan, any which way you want to do it. countycu.org. Go sign up. Those guys, once again, do a really good job. And then, of course, Ryan Kelly, the home loan expert, 314-781-9700. All of this, by the way, made possible by our guy, John R. Seymour, of which will be tagged in this post on Facebook. He is a part of our Mizzou group. He was the one who just posted about the bowl game. He doesn't have a microphone. What was your bowl game, though, John? All right, Schnucks Cereal Bowl, and I don't know, it was the last place you shopped, plus the last thing you ate, plus you just got to put bowl on the end. So it just so happened that it said Cereal Bowl. It wasn't really those things together. So he's a large part of our group there on Facebook, and you guys can hit him up at John Cmar@libertymutual.com. Go get yourself a quote, and he is insuring this house that I'm sitting in right now. So, by the way, I did not just say, hey, John is my friend, let's let him insure the place. Instead, what I did was I said, please put in your quote, and if you have the best offer, it will be awarded to you. He came in about half the price of, I think Geico was the other offer. So come see what you get. That's what I would recommend. Give yourself a Merry Christmas. Let's see. Just to clarify, it's Mizzou gear through the Rivals team store connected to Power Mizzou. Thank you, Matthew. So there all you guys go. I would sign up for PowerMizzou.com. All that information comes from Gabe, who works really, really hard to get that information to you guys, and then is very kind to come in here and join us in what we're doing. So, by the way, I am, like I said, about 35% chance that I think Missouri ends up with going undefeated to the Georgia game. If they're down in Athens, Georgia next year at 8-0, that is a massive game because that's going to be 2 8-0 teams. Georgia's not going to lose much next year. This was supposed to be the bridge year for Georgia, and somehow Georgia still ended up being about a possession away from beating Alabama, or a Jalen Hurts transfer away from beating Alabama. So anyway, a lot of fun coming up here. That is a good recruiting class for Missouri. Sitting at 31, not bad. Maybe when these kids finally sign, some of the 4 and 5 stars that chose not to sign for the early signing period, perhaps they move back a little bit. Even if they're in the top 35, that's fine. As Gabe pointed out, they'd have been fourth in the Big 12. You will take that all day long if you're actually in the Big 12. Now in the SEC, do you need to move into the top 10 when there's 14 teams? You probably do. But in the meantime, I mean, sitting at 31 and being 13th, there's just not that much you can do about that. And I think Missouri has proven that they can figure out how to identify talent, and they can figure out how exactly to develop that talent. They've been doing it for 15 years now and going on what? I mean, Gary Pinkel actually had, go look at his early recruiting classes. He had a bunch of 4-star kids. And as he got going, he actually got less 4-star kids typically per class and developed those 2- and 3-star kids into first-round picks. I mean, that's happened a fair amount here. So Missouri is in good hands as far as recruiting. They're in good hands as far as coaching with Barry Odom and Derek Dooley and the rest of the crew there. And it's going to be a lot of fun for us to watch. So thanks again to Gabe DeArmond, PowerMizzou.com. Go get yourself a subscription. You can keep up with all the good stuff that he's doing over there. And thank you guys for listening. Make sure you support our sponsors, John R. Cmar, John.Cmar@LibertyMutual.com. Send him an email. And I would recommend go get yourself a quote. Merry Christmas to all you guys, and have a great holiday. I will not talk to you guys Monday. That is Christmas Eve. I'm going to Southlake, Texas. I've told you guys this before. My wife grew up in a house where her backyard backs up to Chase Daniels' parents' house. So I will be in Chase Daniels' backyard for Christmas. Perhaps I will jump the fence and go swimming. Everybody in Texas has a pool, just so you guys know. If you ever fly into Dallas, look down. Every single house has a pool. I don't know if that no basements, all pools. We do it a little different here in Missouri. So once again, thank you all. Merry Christmas. Bragging Rights game should be a lot of fun Saturday as well. You guys can go watch that. Should be a really good time. Coming off the Xavier win, I actually think this Missouri basketball team has a higher ceiling than I thought. I still don't think it's an NCAA team. Tournament team, but I do think it is an NIT team that will be could do some damage in that tournament. I didn't think that was likely prior to the last few games. Jordan Geist is significantly improved. Jeremiah Tillman, when he's on the floor, is spectacular this year. He just played his best game as a Tiger, and some of the young kids are developing. So good stuff there. Merry Christmas, Merry Christmas, Merry Christmas. Thank you all. I will talk to you on the 26th, that Wednesday. We're looking to get Dan Orlovsky. We will see if we can grab him, but he, I think, is going to be calling the game for the Liberty Bowl, Oklahoma State and Missouri. So we'd like to get him on, get his thoughts. If you guys remember, first of all, he's really good at his job. He's on Get Up all the time. He's a budding star. He, unfortunately for him, is known as the guy who stepped out of bounds on the 11-yard deep with the Lions, where he ran out of the back of the end zone for a safety. I believe that was Dan Orlovsky. He was it Stafford's backup? Was it that long? I can't remember how long ago it was, but he is a really good interview and should be doing a really good job there on the broadcast for ESPN.